Today is Baptism Sunday, and we're going to talk about baptism. But I want to start, if you've got your Bibles, I've got several verses here, they're in your bulletin. And I want to start with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And I know that those of you that know that verse very well are probably thinking, what's that got to do with baptism? But I want to start with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and kind of set the stage for baptism today. You know what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. A lot of you do. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. These are believers he's writing to. These are people within the church. And he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay? He's reminding the church. For grace you have been saved through faith. The grace of God, your faith. Your faith exercised in Jesus. And that not of yourselves, Paul reminds the church at Ephesus, it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for that gift this morning, brothers and sisters? Amen. Amen. It's a gift of God. And then Paul writes, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, we can't work our way to glory. We can't work our way to heaven. A lot of folks tell me a lot of times, Jim, I'm a pretty good person. Praise God for that. I'm glad you're a pretty good person. But being a good person isn't going to get it done on Judgment Day. Your faith exercised in Jesus Christ as Lord is going to get it done on Judgment Day. Amen? And so Paul writes this to remind the church and to us, we cannot work our way there. And I include this verse this morning simply to say, I love baptisms. I love going down to the river. A couple of years, it's been a little challenging. It was knee-deep. A little challenging to baptize adults in knee-deep water. If you know what I'm saying. But I love the experience of baptism. I love the river setting. But brothers and sisters, you need to know that if you've never put your faith in Christ, that baptism alone won't save us. I don't want us to be having any misconceptions. Okay, preacher, I'll get baptized today and I'll be ready for heaven. It's your faith in the resurrected Christ, your surrendered faith in Jesus as Lord, and God's grace that saves. Baptism is something we do because we're saved. Amen? And that's why we're going to do it today. Because people have said, I want to know Jesus. Some of them have said just recently, I want to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. And they've done it, and we're going to baptism today. Hallelujah. Some have done it, some have trusted Christ a long time ago. And they want to be baptized today just because they've never been baptized as an adult. Maybe they were baptized as a baby. But they want to know and they want to show you, I have been born again. I have been redeemed. I have put my faith in Christ and we're going to baptize them today. That's good news, brothers and sisters. Several years ago, I was preparing for a baptism and there was about a 12-year-old little gal that was had been born again, and she was asking her grandma, I'm kind of scared about going down to the river. I'm kind of scared about getting dunked. And her grandma, in her encouraging way, said, well, Jim will only hold you down 3-4 minutes. She was ready then. I just want us to be clear, brothers and sisters. Baptism is a beautiful thing, but it's your faith that saves. The grace of God in your exercised faith in Jesus that saves. I just want us to be clear about that today. And so what I wanted to do today, I wanted to explain a little bit, and I know I do this once a year, and those of you that have been here before probably think this is boring, but I just want to talk about what is baptism. In the Free Methodist Book of Discipline, it explains it like this. I think it's very good the way our Book of Discipline describes it. Water baptism is a sacrament of the church commanded by our Lord, signifying our acceptance of the benefits of the atonement of Jesus Christ. We recognize we are a sinner that needs a Savior, and we recognize it's the blood of Jesus that atones for our sin. Further, the book states, it is to be administered to believers as a declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a symbol of the new covenant of grace, as circumcision was the symbol of the old covenant. I like the way that explains that. I think that's a good explanation. Now let me just say, the Jewish people of Jesus' day, they were somewhat used to seeing baptism only to initiate converts. Bear that word in mind, converts. You see, what the Jewish community would do at that time, Pharisees would go hither and yon looking for a convert to Judaism. When they had got all their checks off the list done, they would be ready to be accepted into the Judaism and the Jewish faith, so to speak, not by blood, but by being brought in by this conversion. They would baptize them. And so they saw baptism at the time of Jesus as this person is converted from his Gentile ways into Judaism. So they were used to that baptism in that way. When John the Baptist came and was baptizing people, it was a sign of repentance. Remember what John said? Repent and be baptized. So you've got this idea of being baptized at the time of Jesus. The Jewish people were accustomed to it because they had won a convert, and their last step was to be baptized into Judaism. John springs onto the scene and says, repent. What does that mean? Turn away from your sin. And so they were publicly acknowledging, walking down into the river, I'm a sinner and I'm repenting of it. That's what John's baptism was all about. He said, repent and be baptized. And so with that setting in mind, Jesus commanded us, the church, his disciples then and us today, in the Great Commission, and this is Matthew 28:19-20. You can look at it if you want. I think you know these verses too. But Jesus commanded baptism in the Great Commission. And in his commandment of baptism in the Great Commission, it was a bit of both of these scenarios that they were used to. Initiating converts who were now believers in Christ, and because they had confessed their sins and his blood would wash away their sin. And so, when Jesus commanded in Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. When Jesus instructed the disciples that way, instructs us today, it was that with that idea in mind, they have become disciples, converted to Christianity, converted to Christ followers, repented of sin, baptized them. And so that's why we have his instruction the way we have it there in Matthew 28. And today we're going to celebrate with others who have acknowledged Christ as Lord. We're going to baptize them. Now it may be very recently or it may have been a while ago, but we're going to celebrate with them today baptism. And I like to note, just briefly, I like to note the progression in the Great Commission. Make disciples. And then baptize them. And continue to teach them. I like that progression. I think the church, we would do well to remember that. And so this played out many, many times in Acts. And we don't have time to look at very many of those. But I do want to look at just a couple of those. And so if you've got your Bible, Acts 9. We're going to be in 9 for a minute. We're going to be in 10 for a minute. We're going to be in 16 for a minute or two each. Just to give you some examples of how this was played out in the New Testament, as people were acknowledging Jesus the Messiah. You remember the story of Saul? Work with me, friends. I know it's warm in here, but it's not that warm. You're not all asleep yet, are you? You remember Saul, right? Yeah. Thank you. Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church. He was a religious person. He was a zealous Pharisee. But he didn't like this way. They call it the way. He didn't like these Jesus followers. He didn't like the word Jesus. That's Saul. And he was en route one day to Damascus to bring yet more people of the way back and throw them in jail, try to teach them a lesson, and forget about this Jesus. That's Saul. And you know the story. It's in Acts chapter 9. And on his way to Damascus, Jesus, through a bright light at noontime, was there. Saul fell to the ground, was blinded. Here's the voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he, in his blindness, says, "Lord, who are you, Lord?" And I think you know the story. He was blinded for those 3 days. He was led into Damascus. He was there in someone's house for 3 days doing nothing but praying. He had met Jesus, whom he was persecuting. And for 3 days, he ate nothing, he drank nothing, he couldn't see, and he was meditating, praying, and pondering Jesus. Enter into the scene one by the name of Ananias. Ananias lives in Damascus. Ananias is told by God in a dream, "I want you to go pray for Saul." You know the story. It's there in Acts 9. He made a couple of excuses. "I don't really want to do that, Lord, because he's persecuting your people. He's got authority from the chief priest to come here and persecute us, and I really don't want to see him." But God convinces Ananias to go ahead and do it anyway. And so I'll pick it up very late in Acts 9, late in the story, at 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him," that's Saul, "he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.' Immediately," Holy Spirit, "there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." He was already a religious guy. But now he was baptized as a convert to a Jesus follower. You see the progression there? And I just give you these as little examples because it's what they did in the New Testament. Next chapter, Acts chapter 10. You know the story of Peter. Peter was praying on top of the rooftop that time. And the Spirit says to him, "I want you to expand your horizons." I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he was asking him to preach the word to the Gentiles. He saw the sheet come down from heaven. He saw all these unclean animals. The Lord says, "Peter, rise and eat." And you know the story. But the long and the short of it is, God was telling Peter, it's okay to tell the Gentiles about Jesus. And so about the time he was meditating on the roof, along come these people from Cornelius who sent for him, and Peter went with them, and he got to their house, and we'll pick it up at verse 44, while Peter was still speaking to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. He was still speaking to them. He didn't have no altar call. He was just telling them about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit fell on them, the Bible says, and all those who fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, that would be the Jewish people that accompanied Paul to minister to the Gentile, all those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and they knew they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter then says, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Converts to Jesus followers. Peter said, "Baptize them." And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. These were now believing converts. That's why baptize them, he said. You see how this is unfolding in Acts? This is what they did. Let me give you one more. We have time for one more. Acts 16. There's actually a couple of examples in Acts 16. Lydia is there as an example, how her and her whole family were baptized when they believed. But I want to refer to the Philippian jailer, if we may, in Acts 16 for a moment. I think you know that story also. Paul and Silas were there. They cast out the spirit of divination out of this young woman. The people in that town were very upset with them because that she was their moneymaker. The crowd attacked them, the verse in verse 22. They had them stripped of their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them in prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. That's Paul and Silas in prison, having been flogged. And the Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. There's a sermon right there. They had just been beaten. They had just been flogged. They were bloodied and battered. And at midnight, they were singing hymns to God and praying. It had an impact on the people around them, including the Philippian jailer. And the Bible says there was a massive earthquake, violent, that shook the foundations of the prison. And the jailer woke up and he saw that the prison doors were all wide open and he assumed that they had all just escaped. So he began pondering and preparing to kill himself. Paul said, "Do not harm yourself, for we're still here." The jailer called for lights and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them outside and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The jailer knew something was extraordinary about these people. He knew about this Jesus they were praying. And he simply says to them, with this miracle that just unfolded before his eyes, massive earthquake, doors all wide open, and prisoners are still in there. So he says, "What do I got to do to be saved?" And Paul replies, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be." And as the story unfolds, they spoke the word of the Lord to him. They told him about Christ. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and he washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. Now I suppose we could make just a bit of an argument here. Some folks say, "Preacher, if you haven't been baptized by immersion, you haven't been baptized." Okay, I get the argument. But I might suggest to us tonight, they didn't find no river here at this time of day. I'm not going to argue the point about it. I'm just saying some people today will be baptized, but not necessarily by immersion in the river. Sometimes people have a phobia of water. Sometimes people can't get in the water. And sometimes we can baptize them without immersion in the water like we're going to do today. And I'm just suggesting here as an example, I don't think they ran out to the Jordan in the middle of the night and was baptized. I think they were baptized with water other than immersion in this case. I wouldn't be dogmatic about that, and I wouldn't argue with you if you suggested, "No way, preacher, they went to the Jordan and got baptized." I'm just saying I think this is one of those cases that he wasn't immersed because of the time of day and the circumstances and everything else. Be that as it may, I'm just saying, even today, we will invite somebody up to the water's edge and baptize them without immersion. And I think that's okay. They're indicating to you, I have been born again. I have put my faith in Christ, and I want to be baptized. I think that's okay. And so, brothers and sisters, we are going to celebrate with many today. We are going to rejoice with them, from the very young who know full well what it means to be baptized to those that are not as young. We're going to rejoice with them today at the river. And I just want to say today, we're going to close our service not with the song that's in your bulletin, but with Just As I Am. I just want to say today, friends, God is real. Jesus Christ is real. God loved us, loved you and me and the world so much that He sent His Son to die for us. That if we would only believe, if we would only surrender completely to Him, we would live with Him forever. But friends, there's going to have to come a time in every one of our lives to really receive Him, to really trust Him, to really surrender to Him as Lord, if we're ever going to be part of His kingdom, now and forever. And maybe you're here today and maybe you're just thinking, you know what, I don't know if I believe anything you said. I'm not even sure I believe in the Bible. I'm not even sure I believe in God. Maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit of God is whispering in your ear and saying, I love you. And my Son has died for you. Would you put your faith completely in Him and trust Him as Lord? And if you want to do that today, friends, we'd love to see you do that today. I'll pray with you right up here while we're singing this last song. And baptize you today, all on the same day, just like they did, we just saw. I think that'd be so special. I think that'd be so powerful. But that's between you and God. If you've never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, well, Jim, I believe in God. So does the devil. And guess what? He ain't part of the kingdom. It takes a belief in our mind to our heart application. I believe He died for me. I believe He is the Messiah. I believe He shed His blood for my sin. I believe I need Him as Savior because I have, in fact, had sin in my life. All I had is time of stealing or lying or whatever it was. And so I've had some sin too. And I know He's the Savior. And so, friends, it takes a head knowledge about God, I believe in God, to an application of the heart, I surrender to Jesus. And so if you're not sure you've ever done that, you're not sure your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, listen to the Spirit today because the Spirit is probably saying to you, come, I love you, surrender to me, and I'll pray with you. And at about 1:45, we'll go down to the river and we'll baptize you too. Are you here today, friends, and you hear the voice of Jesus saying, come? If you are, let me just encourage you to come. Open up your heart. Open up your life to Jesus. He loves you. He really does. He's give His life on the cross for you and I and all the world. And if you're here today and you just feel that tugging at your heart, you maybe didn't want to come forward, but you know He's talking to you. Will you just say, yes, Lord? You just say, yes, Lord, because He knows your heart, you see. He knows if you're ready, if you died tonight, if you'd be in heaven tomorrow, or you'd be in hell. He knows that. And so, friends, if you're here today and you're just sensing God bidding you come, will you say, yes, yes, Lord Jesus? And then meet us at the river at 1:45. And you can make public acknowledgement when you answer the questions, I believe I have come to Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You for Your grace. Without it, we're just lost souls. Thank you, Father, that you have said to us, if we'll just believe and trust, putting our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, we would never die. We would be part of your kingdom. We would be born again. We would be saved. And so, Father, help us to trust. Help us to put our faith completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of baptism. Thank you for all that are here right now that will be baptized later this morning. Most of whom I know, but some I may not. Some you may be speaking to right now, and they may take that invitation and say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Take control. And so, Lord, we're just thanking you today for your grace, for the sacrament of baptism, for everybody here, and how you're working in our hearts, our families, and our community. Keep working, Lord. Keep saving. Keep calling us unto you. Go with us now, Father, as we go to class or to home or to travel or to wherever we're going. But help us to have ears that hear and hearts that respond to the voice of Jesus that said, I'm knocking on your door. Will you let me in? Help us to have hearts that will respond today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.